Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love a good rabbit hole, and today's sermon certainly took me down one. We're looking today at what it means when we say that Jesus is Lord in the Apostles' Creed. And it got me to thinking about the use of the word Lord and how that came about. I found oodles of articles online, the most famous lords throughout history, even the top 100 fictional lords on the list. You might not be surprised, was Lord Grantham from Downton Abbey, and of course, Lord Farquaad from the movie Shrek. I learned about the history of barons and baronesses, dukes and duchesses, earls and countesses, and of course, lords and ladies. It was really quite interesting, and the history of the nobility in the British Empire receiving these titles either by appointment or genetic inheritance dates back more than 1,000 years. But it also got me to thinking that the word Lord seems to be another one of those words that we can use properly in a sentence, but defining it is more difficult. Right? These days we hear the title used in books or on TV or in the movies or in the Bible. But it's one word that is often used in different ways and means different things in different contexts. So let's look at a couple of these contexts. How about returning to the time of our brother Martin Luther? There were lords at the time of Luther. They were part of the nobility. These kind of lords were territorial lords. They had property, and they were heads of households. And their household wasn't just their immediate family. It meant all of the subjects that lived and worked on their property. Having subjects meant that these subjects belonged to the Lord, and they were required to obey the Lord. This is probably what most of us are familiar with when we think about lords and ladies, is lord in the context of the feudal system, right? Well, let's go back 1,500 more years to the last part of the first century when the Gospels were being written. Emperor Domitian claimed that he was Lord, which meant that he was the supreme ruler and that no one could challenge or rival his authority, at least not without facing torture and death. It's in that context, when no one else could claim they were Lord, that first century Christians were claiming that Jesus was Lord. You see, at that time, in that context, to claim anyone Lord besides the emperor was incredibly subversive. In fact, when those early Christians called Jesus Lord, other people thought they were crazy because only Caesar or only the emperor could be Lord. And they were opening up themselves to significant persecution and death. Both of these contexts have really lost their edge for us 21st century Americans. Really, for us, Lord is just a word that we hear about in other contexts. But in our faith, when we say that Jesus is Lord, what we are saying is that our ultimate allegiance is to Christ, and that every other allegiance or Lord in our lives must be less than our allegiance to Jesus. We're going to come back to this in just a minute. But I want us to look at what's going on in both of our readings for this morning. So in John, after Jesus, by the way, without judgment and with great compassion, after Jesus shows Thomas the holes in his hand and in his side, Thomas, knowing without a doubt that the resurrected Jesus is the crucified Jesus, exclaims, "My Lord and my God." And then in Philippians 2, when Paul says that Jesus is Lord, there is something incredible happening in the text, but we miss it completely in the English. So I'm going to have Norris put up a slide here to help us see with our eyes kind of what's happening. So a couple weeks ago, we talked about the name of Jesus. That's the top one here, right? In Hebrew, the language that Jesus spoke, Jesus' name was Yeshua, which comes from Joshua. When Yeshua is translated into the Greek, it becomes Iesus, which is where we get Jesus. Yahweh, which is the proper name for God, right? In Exodus 3, when Moses is at the burning bush, and God is telling Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell him that he was sent, Moses says, "Who shall I tell them sent me?" And God says, "Tell them that I am sent you." The word that God uses for God's name is Yahweh, and it's so holy and so sacred that Jewish folks never even speak it. In fact, it was never even written down in its entirety. It was kind of written down in an abbreviation, which is why we don't exactly know what the vowels would have been in it. But we think it probably sounded something like Yahweh. So Yahweh is God's proper name given in the Old Testament. When Yahweh is translated into the Greek, it becomes Kyrios, which in English is Lord. So what's happening is that by saying that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is Kyrios, what the author of John and what Paul is doing in Philippians 2, they are saying that Jesus is Yahweh. They aren't simply giving Jesus an honorary title. They are saying that Jesus is Yahweh, the God of the entire universe, the creator of all things, the one who rules over all things. This is who Jesus Christ is. Jesus is Yahweh. This is what Thomas exclaims. This is what Paul deliberately proclaims in Philippians 2. And so because Jesus is Yahweh, this is the name that is above every other name, and this is the name that every knee will bow at in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is Yahweh. So, brothers and sisters, when we say in the Apostles' Creed, "I believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord," what we are saying is that Jesus Christ is the God of the entire universe. Jesus Christ is the creator of all things, who rules over all things. That Jesus is Lord of all. But here's the thing about that. Because Jesus is Lord, it means that no one else can be Lord over us. It means that our ultimate allegiance must be to Christ. It means that we must trust and obey Christ above and beyond all people and all things. It means that we must reject any pretender who tries to seduce us away from the way of Jesus. Because if Jesus is Lord over us, then nothing else can be. Not money, not health, not our phones, not our nation, not a political party. If Jesus truly is Lord of our lives, all of our allegiance is to Christ and Christ alone. So if Christ is Lord, if we truly believe that, then it is going to affect how we live out our lives. It means that our lives are going to exhibit a kind of disloyalty to the world around us. It means that we're going to be misfits. Because Jesus isn't the kind of Lord who grabs hold of power and uses it for his own self-interests and his own purposes. Jesus isn't the kind of Lord who is greedy and amasses wealth and hoards it away from the poor. Jesus isn't the kind of Lord who only associates with the elite and people that look like him or who talk like him or behave like him. Jesus is the kind of Lord who includes the excluded. Jesus is the kind of Lord who eats with sinners. Jesus is the kind of Lord who empties himself completely of his power and privilege. Jesus is the kind of Lord who unites people instead of dividing them. Jesus is the kind of Lord who washes his disciples' feet. So every Sunday, when we come to this place, when we recite the Apostles' Creed, and when we say that we believe in Jesus Christ our Lord, two things can happen. One, we can just say the words, but we don't really mean them, because we haven't placed our hope and trust, because we have placed our hope and trust in other lords, and we have put other allegiances before Christ. And in doing so, our lives will reflect these other lords and allegiances, and not Jesus. Or when we say these words, we can mean them. We can let the truth that Jesus is Lord affect every area of our lives. We can let the Holy Spirit reshuffle our priorities so that no one and nothing can be Lord over us except Jesus Christ. And in doing so, not only will our lives reflect the way of Jesus, but we ourselves will come to look more and more like Jesus. Brothers and sisters, may we not only confess that Jesus Christ is Lord with our tongues. May we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord with all of our life. Amen.